And in the, this is, should be somewhere in your stack of stuff. The committee actually passed the same one that already passed, so they should have that.
Senator Betzel.
Madam Chair and member, Senate File 912 is actually some language that had been seen in full committee a while back as Senate File 1157 from Senator Foley. He had a CRIMNET bill, and sections, parts of that were in that bill, which I believe you have included in the packets. In Section 912, deals with access to data. Basically, the CRIMNET system or the Integrated Search Service, which is a broader term of that, this would allow the an individuals to query that system to find out if there's any data in the system that pertains to them and what government agencies have that information. The CRIMNET system obviously was originally built to provide access of pull all the computerized data from all around the state into one thing for the benefit of law enforcement, for the courts, and so forth. But to the extent that we have a government database that has information on individuals, should be able to have access to it to find out whatever public or private data they is contained there about them within. The language that is in Senate File 912 is not exactly lined up with the language that came out of this committee. I don't know if there's an amendment that's prepared, or we should just no. Okay, but if you look at, Madam Chair, if you look at Senate File 1157, in particular lines 1.20 through 1.23, that's a bit different. In particular, lines 2.2 to 2.3, that data that describes what is maintained about the individual, each government entity on the list, that was added, I believe, in this committee, which is, I believe, the only difference between that and what is Senate File 912. So to the extent that we have the language available in Senate File 1157 that I think better reflects what we need to do, I think that is probably the language that we need to adopt. I have Mr. Sikora here, who can also discuss the background of the bill, and we provide any questions.
Senator Betzel, before we go to Mrs. Sikora, why don't I have Senate Counsel kind of just run through a little bit, because she's had a little bit more time to look, to compare the two, if that's all right. Ms. Pontius?
Madam Chair, members, I think Senator Betzel pointed out the one really substantive difference between the language in terms of that additional clause that's on Senate File 912 on lines 19 and 20, or excuse me, on I was on lines 19 and 20. But otherwise, it really is just technical differences. There were some clarifying amendments that went into Senate File 1157 that aren't reflected in the language of 912.
Senator Betzel, is it your intention that we take the language of 1157?
Madam Chair, I think that would be better, because I think that's the language that had been approved by this committee. And it's only Section 1 that we'd be looking at, not the rest of it. The rest of the bill did go to the Senate floor, but I'm not sure that the rest of the bill is lining up with where bills are in the other body. So I think that at least to get this component into the data practices bill is what we want. So I'm only looking at Section 1.
Right.
Okay. And we may have to change the head note. Says CRIMNET, and I think data subject access or some other headnote would be better on for Section 1. But otherwise, the rest of the language in Section 1 would probably be that which we should be looking at.
Senator Limmer, is it all right with you if we just have Senator Betzel amend the Section 1 from Senate File 1157 to Senate File 912, and then that will basically... That way, we're not going back and forth. And I don't think, because that the language in 1157 has already gone through the committee.
Correct.
And so, I mean, we're just taking something that we've already approved of and adding it to the data practices bill.
The only question I have, Madam Chair, is why are we going through these two separate bills when 1157 had already been passed? Why are we going through this exercise?
Because we're doing a data practices omnibus bill, and we're not quite sure. I think this section, Senator Betzel, the standalone bill has other things in it, right?
Which one, 1157?
1157.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I met with some of the interested parties prior to the start of the session, and they were looking at a rather large bill with a lot of components in and doing CRIMNET, some other things. I had suggested to them that for the efficiency of the legislative process, they might consider splitting some of these out because some of these had to go in different directions. And so there was a CRIMNET bill. I'm not sure, as I say, that that bill is going to have any particular action, but they had a data practice component or two in that bill, and I agreed to carry the data practices components, and that's what I've got. So it isn't unusual in the process for some of these things to be showing up, but it was my recommendation they split out the bills so that we could manage them better in the committee process.
Madam Chair, I'm okay with what you want to do.
As things happen around here, Senator Lemmer, if the only thing that gets passed is the data practices omnibus bill, Senator Betzel wants to make sure that his bill is in there.
It's because of the superior quality of work that we do.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So Senator Betzel moves to, how should we do this?
Well, Madam Chair, I move Section 1, the language of Section 1 that appears in Senate File 1157. With the correction of the head note and any others. I don't know if anybody's here who wants to testify. I believe that I was actually in a different committee at the time when Senator Foley was presenting his bill, so I don't know if you had testimony
on
157. So.
We had ample testimony, and I think someone from the BCA was here to testify on that. So, on that motion, any further discussions?
Move that into the omnibus data practice bill. Yeah.
Yes. On that motion, seeing that there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails.
And Madam Chair, Section File 913 actually was, I believe, also reflected in Section 2 of the other bill. However, Section 913 actually comes to the Judiciary Committee from the Transportation Committee, and there was an amendment there that Senator Bonhoff offered. Let me describe what the bill does. Currently, the driver's license photo information is available. It's private data, but it is available to very limited agencies. The prosecutors currently have access to it. However, criminal justice agencies, public defenders, the courts, parole officers, probation officers do not have access to it. And frankly, they probably do need access to some of these, the photographs. Mr. Sikora can go into greater detail as to reason for this. And you may have looked at this when Senator Foley presented his bill. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes a public defender may not know or probation officer may not know exactly whether the person that he's talking to is really the person that he's supposed to be talking to. And if he had access to the driver's license photo, that would assist. When say the public defender's office is serving a subpoena on somebody, they go and the investigator or somebody goes to the door and the person says, that person moved out. Well, it's the person that they're trying to find to serve the subpoena on. It would help if they had some photo identification to identify that person. The amendment that went on in the Transportation Committee is related to an issue that Senator Bonhoff is working on that this committee heard, trying to have a photo of a person in a no-contact order attached to the order. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there, but this is one piece of it which would allow the photograph to be available to the court if there is a way that we can down the road match up the photo with the no-contact order. As I say, Mr. Sikora here, and I believe this committee, the Judiciary Committee, may have spent some time discussing this issue when Senator Foley had the CRIMNET bill here, but that's the basic issue that you have before you.
Senator Betzel, I recall that in that discussion, one of the issues that the committee had talked about, and I in particular had some concerns about, which I didn't have an opportunity to address in the Transportation Committee, where it would have been a little bit more appropriate than the Judiciary Committee, Which was that if this is a direction that we want to go, then I think we need to also consider whether or not we need to have Department of Vehicle Services give people notice that when they go to get their photograph taken for purpose of obtaining an ID card or a driver's license, that that image now will be subject to access, not only by law enforcement, but by a number of other groups of individuals. And again, you know, we're back into the Data Practice Subcommittee and the Judiciary Committee ultimately, where this could have been a different discussion in transportation. And I had some concerns. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there that day, but not on this bill, but subsequently, I think that subsequent to that, I think we may have to have that conversation.
Well, we do have somebody who is here to talk about. Let me just raise a question. Perhaps Ms. Pontius could help it. Normally, if the government is collecting data on an individual, there has to be some sort of a Tennyson warning given in some written form or whatever as to how the information would be used. I don't know if that applies here, but we do have a witness who can discuss that. So,
Madam Chair, members, my name is Dana Goetz. I'm with the BCA and Department of Public Safety. We had worked with Senator Moine, provided some potential language that we could include a notice on the driver's license application that it would say that that the driver's license photo could be used for the purposes described in 171.07.
Senator Betzel, you open to...
Well, Madam Chair, absolutely. I think that was the intention of the Tennyson warning, where if government is collecting data on individuals, they should describe what the data is to be used for. And I don't know that... driver's license data used to always be public information, so I don't know that the issue ever came up, but... In recent years, because of the federal law changes, it's been closed down, and so I think it would be appropriate to have that disclosure as part of your application process. I mean, we don't have to have the clerk behind the counter read that to you, but if part of the application process says that, you know, here's some of the ways that, that for instance, the driver's license data sometimes could be, the list could be provided for things, whether it's child support enforcement or whatever, there's numerous ways that this data is to be used, and people may need to know that when they get their driver's license.
Ms. Pontius, is there a way to incorporate that language into this bill?
Madam Chair, I mean, there is a Tennyson warning that's required right now under law, and that applies to all government data. Right. So I assume it would apply in these cases. So once at the time they collect the data, so when they take the photograph, I assume every 4 years or whenever you renew your driver's license now, you'll get a notice at that time. And it does. The notice does have to tell you that it's private, but they have to tell you who has access to it. So I think that would be covered under the current law. I'm getting some nods in the back there. So I don't think specific language is necessary.
Well, from a practical experience perspective, I mean, the last time I had my driver's license renewed, I wasn't aware that there was something like that, and I wondered how explicit or where that Tennyson warning fits. I mean, it's good that we have that protection in the law, but if we don't, we do it in such a way that is so inconspicuous that citizens aren't told what that means, I'm not sure that it's that it serves its purpose. Well, but again, I mean, this is not, because I don't think there's anybody from Vehicle Services here who can answer that. So... Mr. Neumeister, I got your note, and I know you want to testify on this, so you can sit down for a second.
Madam Chair, maybe Ms. Byer-Kropensky can respond to that, too, the effect of the Tennyson warning, the requirements, and so forth. So.
Yep. Mr. Chair and members, yes, what you've described is what Senate Counsel has described. Lori Byer-Kropensky, Department of Administration. What Senate Counsel has described is accurate. In addition to providing a Tennyson warning each time they collect data, the Department of Public Safety, since they are collecting a Social Security number, are also required to give a federal privacy notice that describes how that data is going to be used and the purposes and who outside the agency is going to have access to it, which they, in fact, do.
Okay. Well,
they're supposed to do it right now.
Senator Limmer?
Madam Chair, would it hurt public policy if there was an explicit statement that was offered at the time a driver license was renewed or a new driver license sought? Part of what I think needs to happen, especially around individual data privacy issues, is that sometimes the public doesn't know its own rights or privileges that these laws are meant to, or what the intention of these laws are. And the more people get to know what their protections are, I think the better off we all are. So I certainly am not opposed to having a one-line, a bit more explicit statement for that purpose.
Well, Madam Chair, given the fact that there are so many areas where the Tennyson warning applies, we'd almost have to put it in lots of areas in the statute, and it almost defeats the purpose of having one place where, you know, it covers virtually everything. I think that now that the issue has been flagged, perhaps the Department of Administration, you know, can make sure that they alert Department of Transportation that in public safety that if they're not doing this or not doing it satisfactorily, that they have to do it. I think that's one of the things that admin, that's one of their responsibilities, to kind of oversee where the other agencies are in compliance with the Data Practices Act. And it may very well be that they're not in compliance right now, and you know, now we've discovered it. So I think we ought to give the agency an opportunity to comply with the law.
Well, for the you know, if it were up to me, I would be inclined to go in the direction that Senator Limmer has suggested. On the other hand, I am concerned that we're going to have to start putting that all over the statutes. But just to let you know that I will go over to Sears in a couple of days, and I will see whether or not that warning is there, because I think people should know that this is going to be used. Not that it's to a bad purpose or anything like that, but people should just know. I have Mr. Neumeister wants to speak on this. So, Mr. Neumeister?
Madam Chair, while he's coming up, I don't recall what we did on driver's license data, but we had sort of an opt-out or some checklist my first or second year that I was here in the legislature, and we spent hours and hours dealing with that. And I had my driver's license due, you know, the following summer, and when I went to renew my driver's license, the clerk behind the counter pointed it out to me and said, "Look at what the legislature did with this here." You know, and I said, "Oh, yeah, really? Okay. That's so." You know, so, okay. Yep.
Mr. Neumeister, you don't want to talk?
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Rich Neumeister. My purpose of my testimony is on another item, but when you asked the question, Madam Chair, about where they get the notice, that's why I could answer that for you. I just got my driver's license at Sears, and they're all on the back. So you have your front, and then you have your back, and that's where the notice is. The notice provision is on the back.
And the place where you fill out the information to get your driver's license is on the front?
Yes.
And is there a reference to look in the back?
Not necessarily, no.
That raises concerns, I think, for me.
But as a courtesy, I wanted to at least share that with you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, the reason why I'm testifying is that if you look at the bill in front of you, one of the things that struck me, and this is probably an older part of the law, and I don't know when it was put in, but on, I think it would be on the first engrossment, lines 11 and 12, or 10 and 11, that all these people can get copies of the photograph, but I, the subject, can't even get a copy of the photograph. So that's a concern I have. And if we're doing some modifications, and also at the same time, they're being kept digitally now, and maybe some people would like to have an historical. If they're kept for years and years, I don't know how far they're kept back. But let's say I might be interested to get copies of myself or my mother or whoever, if I got their permission or whatever, to get some of these, because they're done on a periodic basis. So the main issue is, why can't the individual subjects have access to their own photographs to get a copy when it's probably more than likely real cheap to be able to get a copy of that? Thank you very much.
Well, you can leave, but my thinking is that that's why people shouldn't be able to get it. You can go to Pro-X and get a copy of yourself. This is a photo that goes on a state-issued ID card. If we can all get access to this photo outside of people who are very well-defined in getting access to this photo, then that information will be used on a number of fraudulent ID cards that will look exactly like the photo that's on the card. I think there's some rationale to that. So I just as it can be cheaply gotten by the subject, I think the subject could very well just go to Pro-X and get a picture of himself or herself.
It's just a concern, Madam Chair.
All right. Senator Betzel moves that Senate file 913.
And the first engrossment that we have would be included in the Omnibus Data Practices Bill.
Any further discussions?
Madam Chair, let me just give you a brief comment on another unrelated issue. It lines 8 and 9 talk about photos are private data, and I think Ms. Pines can probably give you the background on this better than I can. Apparently that was a heated issue years ago, and part of the Data Practice Committee thought that it should be, the photographs should be public, part should be private. Senator Miriam came in at a later meeting and distributed all the photos of every member of the Data Practice Subcommittee of their driver's licenses. They voted to make them private.
On that note, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Mr. Sakura, I'm sorry I haven't given you time, but I, you know, we've heard from you and.
Madam Chair, this is the best way things can unfold. Thank you.
I've backed off a little bit.
Mr. Black, Senator Olson isn't here. She's presenting another committee. I'm going to recess for about 15 minutes to give her time to get here, and then we'll take up the bill. Thank you.
I'm also in state and local government. I think I'll go sit there for a little bit and vote on some stuff. And when you need me, just have someone come get me.
I mean, I think most of. Do you have any amendments to any other amendments?
No, I don't have anything. I haven't looked at either of these bills yet. But I should be here. I'll try to be here. But I'll be in 123. So if you need me.
Most of the amendments, these bills, I think we've seen in one fashion or another. Your bill that we lay on the table, you don't want to take it?
No. Department of Labor.